Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
So I want to tell you just a little bit before we look at and the message this morning. Last Sunday, Pastor Brock preached, and if you weren't here, I encourage you to go to the website and look up last week's message. I think it should be on the website by now. If not, give it another day or two. So I was sitting down here with my wife, and Brock is beginning his message. And I was like, are you kidding me? And he's saying a little more. And I lean over to Sue, and I said, I'm going to have to rewrite next week's sermon. I mean, he was saying some things that were in my notes. And I know he didn't run in there and look at them, because I wrote it in Greek. No, I'm kidding. He didn't have access to them. We didn't talk about sermons. And as I'm leaning over to tell her this, I'm also listening, and he starts saying more. That's in my, and I'm like, okay. And then he carried on with the message, said some other things, and I started to take it like this: God, you're speaking to us as a church. This is a confirmation. Okay. And then he continued the message and took it predominantly in our vertical relationship. That means us and God, right? That vertical relationship. And and so that was really kind of the first part of the message that the Lord gave me. And then he was done. And I went, oh, well, you spoke to me about the vertical, but also the horizontal message, you and I with one another on this level, right? Of what we're supposed to do and develop in our relationships. And so this is part two. Brock 2.0 or whatever you want to call it. I don't know, but... And so I want to share this with you this morning. There'll be a couple of things that I'll refer to that maybe were mentioned last week. So I didn't have to rewrite, which I would have. I just took it as a confirmation the Lord speaking to us. And so I want to refer to these couple of scriptures as we start. In Romans chapter 1, verse 12, it says that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Mutually encouraged by each other's faith. That's this level. That's through relationship with one another. Okay? Proverbs, listen to this, Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I'm going to read that part again. Person that hath friends must show themselves friendly. And there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's him, right? I want to talk to us about friendship. And specifically, and this can carry over, but friendship within the body of Christ. Because we, and I just say this very humbly and gratefully, because we have been a growing church, okay, with some maturity, but also the breadth of people and those who come and attend and connect during the week and on Sundays and through the online piece that we offer. But especially those who physically come. You know, sometimes we are coming from another church. Sometimes we haven't been to church for a long time, and our spiritual life is maybe, we wandered, we struggled, we got tangled up, whatever it is, and we start again or pick up from there, and the Lord helps us. And then those we've been around this local church for a long time, and you know, part of coming into a community is you have some measure of expectation to whatever level of coming into a community, and how do they function? What's the culture of the community? How do I connect? How do I honor God's word? And, you know, how am I part of this and being edified and mutually encouraging one another through our faith, wherever we're at in the our journey of faith in following the Lord. And so some of this goes into friendships. And I want to talk to us about this because there are some things that are known and things that have, you know, the principles of friendship that have been around for a long time. And I want to talk to you a little bit about this because sometimes coming into a community of believers, we anticipate and expect some things. And it's not that we just, you know, sit at home and make our list. It's that we come in because we're human and we have been around for a little while and, you know, we've had friendships through school, through life. Maybe no friends, maybe few friends, no good friends, maybe different best friends, whatever your friendship history is. And now we come in to the household of faith, and we know we're going to be part of this family, but out of this family, there's friendships that develop, and friendships that maybe we hope for. Or I'm coming to this church, and I've been around for a little while, and I'm having a hard time making a friend. And is it something with me? Is it something with this church? Is it, you know, we go around the block on these things. And I want to talk to you about this so that we can maybe understand maybe a little bit better about friendships and how they start and how they stay and how they continue and the level of friendship that we have with people. So let me just start with this as a growing church. There's three things that they have found that are required for friendship. Now, you can have a measure of friendship with somebody without these three things, okay? But they're never going to be a close friend. And I want you to understand this, that these three things that it takes, that's required for a close friendship, okay, to happen, it also changes. Some of us, probably most of us, we've had some friends come and go in our lifetime, right? Maybe you felt it was natural, it was peaceable, maybe it just, I don't know, it kind of happened. I want to talk about some of this. Because I don't want the enemy to bring unnecessary hurt, condemnation, or offense into our life. Amen. That disrupts the spiritual life and the health of a church. So I want to talk to you about these three things that are required for a close friendship. Remember, you can have one or two of these and still be friends. It's just that you're not going to step into that close, potentially best friend arena. And I want you to know, and I'll tell you later, that it's okay. Now, we all need a close friend. We should walk together in life, be there for one another. But you don't need all three of these for us to offer ourselves to someone who's in hell, in need, right? That's the Christian thing. You don't have to be a close friend to help somebody. You can be a total stranger, because after all, who's your neighbor? Right? We know that parable. But I want to talk to you about friendship. These are three things that are required if you're going to be a close friend. One is physical proximity. Now, you can say, oh, I'm really good friends with so-and-so on the other side of, you know, the country or the world. And I know there's room for that. And you have a friendship. I get it. But I'm telling you, to be a close friend, it takes physical proximity. And you can argue it all you want in this digital virtual age, but I'm telling you that for close friendship, to move to that arena, physical proximity is a big requirement. The other side of the world, you can share and be friends. But if you fall in the driveway, you're going to lay there a while before they come to you from Argentina. I overstated it to make a point. Physical proximity, I know that we live on a computer relationship world, but I'm telling you, physical proximity cannot be replaced. Second thing that's required is a common timing of stage of life to be a close friend. You could be friends without it. I mean, you can go to your workplace and you can have a friendship with somebody else in a different cubicle down the hallway or wherever you work or on the factory floor, okay, and your friend's at work and you're 24 and they're, you know, 48, whatever. And you're fine at work. But it's not like the two of you are going out and hanging out on weekends, because when you're 24, you got two little babies at home. 48, you're kicking your babies out. Right? Stage of life. And it changes. It changes, okay? As I have gotten older, I tend to hang out with guys who have gotten older. I'm generally not running around with 26-year-old guys. They're too immature and they can't keep up with me. See? Third thing is energy or interests. Before you came to Christ, maybe your history is hanging out in the bar and doing the party and lifestyle and engaging in all of whatever that is. And then Jesus finds you and you turn to him in faith. And now you feel a conviction that you can't go and share in that anymore. But you still like your friends. But now something in the three requirements is off. You can't go do that anymore. And so the interests are different. I went through this in my life, probably like many of you. I'll still go water ski, and I'll still go out and do those things, but I'm not going to those places anymore. And I'm not participating in that anymore. And so what happened is, though we liked each other, and I had a love for those guys, something went off. Our interests, our energy, it was different. I couldn't do it anymore. So my relationship with them, it dissolved over time. They still called. I said no. It was lonely. It was difficult. Okay? You know, you're acquainted with this. But I couldn't do that stuff anymore. And that's kind of how they wanted to spend a good amount of their time. So the closeness of friendship became distant. Things change. And it doesn't have to be, you know, just over immoral before Christ stuff. You could. Some of you young ladies, you're married, and you hang out, and then one of you starts having children. You don't get together as often. And you're happy for your girlfriend, and you like children, but you're tired of every conversation being about her kids. No offense to her. Something changes, and so we have friends who come and go throughout our life. We're still friends, but we're not close. And so those things happen right here within this congregation, okay? And it's not that I won't go hang out with some young guys, okay? And, you know, they're going to like me and we're going to have a good time, but I'm not water skiing anymore. I mean, it would be, you know, I'd be skipping. Forget the skis. I just hang onto the rope and skip across. I mean, it's just, there's something that's off. Our interests, our energy, our place of life. They're maybe not even married yet, and I've got 8 grandchildren. It's 8 grandkids, right? Born, we have 8 grandchildren. Thank you, daughter Brittany. My wife was looking at me confused, like, I don't know what. However, still comes to 8. So there's something off, and we can like each other. But if one of these things is just off, we're still friends, but we're not close friends. And it's okay. Once you hear it's okay. We have to understand that when these people come and go in our life, listen to this. The studies show it's almost 100% that the relationship that doesn't become close, it's not because of something personal. It's that one of these three things is off. And so you're still friends, but you're not going to be close friends. Now, in the Christian realm, if somebody's in need, we're going to come and we're going to help because that's our brother or sister in Christ, and we want to minister, right? Okay, so in that moment, yeah, we go for one another and help one another and care for one another. It's what we're supposed to do. But it doesn't mean that the result of that then is that we're going to be close the rest of our life. And so what I want us to understand is that sometimes when we don't find a close friend or we did something with somebody, and it doesn't become this close friend thing, that you take it personal. Now the devil does a trick on us, right? Something's wrong with me. They don't like me. Or we get an attitude of resentment. Oh, yeah, well, they can just take it and, you know, whatever. Forget them. Oh, yeah. You know, we work through the insecurities and all of that stuff in our mind. And here we are in the same household of faith. And this stuff is churning inside. I want to close the door on the devil on that work in your life. And we do that through understanding some things because it helps us manage expectation and experience and a natural disappointment that maybe we shouldn't be disappointed. It's okay. But we still feel and want a closer friend or closer friends. It just means that one of those three things doesn't match. And it's okay, because you're still friends. Brock mentioned some statistics, and those statistics were in my notes. That thief. You'll recall this. For a casual friendship, it takes approximately you spending time with each other 70 hours. So for you over here, Deb, use you. And you over here, Holly, use you. You guys could see a church, say name, say hi. But for you to become even casual friends, it's going to take you guys spending 70 hours together. That's a lot of coffees. More coffees for men, less women. Women tend to have longer coffee times. That's what's supposed to happen, right? That's a lot of coffees. And that's just with one person in the church. And there's a whole bunch. 70 hours to just be casual friends. That's why some of your friends are where you work. Church, it's 2 hours a week, and you guys are on the opposite sides of the sanctuary. This doesn't even count. It takes 200 hours with another person to become close friends. 200 hours. How many close friends can you build in a week? You see, sometimes we come with unrealistic expectations because we come into the church, right? This is the place of God's love and God's grace and God's mercy and people who proclaim love and people who are, you know, okay in life generally. You know, we all face challenges. And so we have this expectation that when I just plop in, they're going to all cater and want to be my friends, and they're because they're full of the love of God. And then you come in, and people are nice, but it didn't happen in the first few weeks or the first few months. And you go through things and say, well, I got together with so-and-so or one or two other people, and we went out for coffee. And it seemed like the three of us had a good time. We did that one thing that one time. And now 3 months have gone by. We never did it again. They don't like me. Something's wrong with me. Or we do the other thing. They're a bunch of phonies. They're a bunch of hypocrites. They talk about the love of God and they wouldn't. And then we all come together on Sunday. And everybody's my best friend. Some of you are walking around with offenses and hurts in here that you don't legitimately have. And some of you have some disappointments in here that are legitimate. You see, we want the result of friendship in Christ and in the household of faith without committing to the process. I want you to hear that. We want the result, but we don't want the process of being invited, maybe not be invited, got disappointed, had a really good time, thought we'd be close, they didn't call me back. Oh, it was a week later. That's too long. You know, whatever. See, now this stuff gets in here and the devil just works us over. And I want you to understand that friendship, you got to be able to put in the work. And I will tell you, coming here one morning a week for a couple of hours isn't going to cut it. You got to put in the work if you want friendships. I've heard this for years and years and years now, because I've been here long enough. Some, they came back to this church years later and they went, wow, this is really a warm, friendly place. Something good has been going on here. Others come and they go, this is a friendly place. They come for the first time, first couple of times. They check it out over a few months. They said, you know what? This church, pretty friendly, pretty warm. Now, that's not wearing a badge, and it doesn't mean we're perfect. But you keep doing that. God's using it. God's using you. And that warmth and friendliness and genuine hellos and cares and conversations, even though it's a few minutes here and a few minutes there, it adds up. And you're putting in the work. Not everybody's going to be your best friend. And not everybody's going to be a close friend. It's okay. Listen, I'm the pastor. I genuinely love you. And I care about you. But I can't possibly be a close friend with all of you. It's not possible. Okay? All things are possible with God. Yes, I know. He will be a close friend to all of you. And is. We'll talk about that briefly. You can't be everybody's close friend, but we can certainly be everybody's friend. Listen, I'll throw on a Matthew's hat, and I'll be out of town somewhere, and it's a bow hunter. Oh, shoot a Matthew's. Yeah, I live in Sparta, where the factory is of the number one bow country in the world. Really? And they get a little fascinated because, you know. And I just said, yeah, I'm so blessed to live there. And I have the privilege of being friends with many who are on the factory floor or in upper management. Now, that's not a lie. I'm not bragging. I'm just building a relationship and getting them in conversation because you never know where it goes. For the sake of the gospel. So, and I'm not lying when I say that, but I mean, I'm friends with Brad, but him and I, we're not hanging out on the weekends. I'm still friends with him. I care about him. I care about his family. Once he kicks all those boys out of his house, then he'll be an empty nester. Maybe he will graduate to the level that I'm at. And we could hang out for dinner, the four of us. You see what I'm saying? Show yourself friendly. Be a friend to those who have been in the church for a while and those who are newer and those who come in for the first time, all for the sake of the gospel. And here's the thing. You don't know the moment you might meet your next best friend. Your next close friend. DeGarmo, how long have you been coming to this church?
20 years.
20 years. So about the time I arrived. I don't know who was here first, doesn't matter, but about that long. I like this couple. I knew Jeff. Hi. Good to see you. Chat briefly. But it wasn't until about 7 years ago we kind of hanging out a little more. He became somewhat of an empty nester, though the grandkids hang around a lot. You're blessed. And he took an interest in golf. I'm interested in golf. And so there were some things on the list here, and in physical proximity, he lives close by, there were three things in place for me and him to develop a friendship that I would describe as close. Okay? It changed. Things change. There's a guy that I call, he's my best friend, but physical proximity, he lives in another state and hours away. So we text or we might video call or whatever, and it's good, and I love that guy. And if he needed something, I'd drop what I do and I would go. But if he falls in the driveway, he's going to have to wait till I get there. It's going to be a long, especially if it's in winter. Proximity is not there. Now, our relationship is still healthy, and of course, we're guys, so we deal with it a little bit differently than women do. That's not a judgment. It's just different. Okay? I cannot see a guy who's a good, close friend for years and years and years and see him and go, hey, buddy, and we just pick up where we left off. Right? I mean, that's just kind of, I don't know. I think it's kind of a guy thing. Girls, they just process that differently. I'm not going to go into it because I'll get emails and stoning and my wife won't cook my lunch for me and all that stuff. Listen, coming into the community of church life, we have some expectations. And our experience might not necessarily be the same as our expectation. And we might have some disappointment. We might have some hurt. And then this trick is played on us. When I was in the world before Christ, I had better friends, closer friends than I do now. My worldly friend wouldn't have done that. My Christian friend did this. Or I'm not as close to them, and I've been coming to church now for a year. Well, I don't know. Did you put in the 200 hours? I'm sure you had a forgive and overlook some things with your previous friendship group, and you're going to have to overlook and be gracious to your new friendship group, even though they're believers. Where'd you get the idea that the believers, you know, oh, they have this higher standard? Yes, they do, but they're not going to disappoint. They're not going to offend. They're not going to... I'm sorry you had that expectation. And I'm not saying lower your expectation and live at a substandard level. I'm just telling you that you have to allow the grace that God gave you to flow from you to other people if you're going to have friendships. Here's the benefit. Through faith, a household of faith, and you put the time in, and you don't trip up over all that other stuff. I've heard this story. Boy, this church family and that individual, they are actually closer to me than my own biological family. Welcome to the household of God, where there's grace, there's mercy, and friendships that are available, but we got to put in the work. You see, we come with expectation, but sometimes we come and don't realize we have responsibility in it. How come nobody in church likes me? I can't find a close friend. Nobody in church cares about me. When I wasn't there for a little while, nobody called me. Who did you call? We have responsibility in it. Just because we're newer doesn't mean we can't invite or we can't initiate. Now, I'm not making an excuse for the church not to call or your friend not to call. We need to call. We need to connect. But, you know, why are we putting the burden and the onus on the church and no responsibility on ourselves? That is not right. It's not correct, and it won't fly, and you'll be the one that suffers. Expectations and responsibilities. This is why it is important to get to a Bible study, get to a ministry that meets during the week, go to some ministry events, ask out for coffee, invite people over. You got to put in the process. You got to put in the time. And I'll tell you something. No man, no woman was ever meant to be an island. And I'm going to tell you something else. You're going to be hard-pressed to be called a disciple of Jesus Christ if you don't have relationships with other people outside of your family. I'm not saying abandon your family. You limit the ministry and the call of Jesus Christ as a disciple of His when we have no friendship outside of just our family. And it's not about, well, I'm not a social person, and I'm not, yeah, I know. The book's full of the excuses. I'm not old enough. I'm not young enough. I don't speak well. You know, all the stuff, right? Yeah, add to the list that already has your excuse on it. You know, we have to be mindful and we have to initiate, we have to care and we have to open ourselves up. But those who are newer, I want you to do the same. We want to be connected. I want you to have a close friend in life. It's good for us. We need to be sharpened. We need counsel, good friends, good close friends. Not just any close friend. That's a whole other topic about friends. Listen, the church is not supposed to do what I think that I need at any given moment. Because then it's all about me. Did you come to get a friend or come to be one? So I'm not going to buy your hypocrite and, oh, it's just a click. You're just a click. I'm not going to buy it. Do clicks happen? Yeah, there's some that are legitimate clicks. I'm not saying it's legitimate. I'm just saying it's a click. They're not interested in opening up their three-person friendship group or four, whatever it is. And they should probably open the doors of that. Listen, the reality is you're probably liked. It's that you don't need to take it personal. It's just that in these friendships, not all three things, okay, proximity, your interest at the time and the stage of life you're at, one of those could be off. It's not anybody's fault. It doesn't mean somebody doesn't like you. I love Beulah, but her and I are probably not going to go out bowling. With some different interests. Listen, I want you to remember this. Jesus, when he called his disciples, he said, and you'll find it throughout the scripture, come, follow me. They did not start out with all three things present in their relationship. They may have not had one other than they were in proximity. And even then, the disciples who responded saying, yes, I will follow you, had to leave their home and their life. That's a big deal. Had to leave. And then they walked around with him day after day. They got their 70 hours in pretty quick to be casual friends. And they got their 200 hours in, and they became close. In fact, if you remember John 15, he says, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. He shared the Father's business with them. You don't do that with a stranger. You share personal stuff with a close friend. See, they had to put the process in. They had to put the time in. They had to go through some misunderstandings and do some things wrong and do some things right. And you know, you and I have the idea of following Jesus around all day. Oh, that would have been just so great. No, it wouldn't. Your flesh would have hated a lot of it. My flesh would have hated a lot of it. I'm cold. I'm hungry. It's windy. It's a big storm. I'm tired of people. And you're always going around them. I'm tired of being rebuked. You see, right? But a lot of great stuff. I'm just telling you, they had to change. They had to spend time together. They went through the process. Brock talked about the vertical relationship, but I just want to mention it in closing because we talked about this horizontal part. Jesus is always present with you, he promised. So physical proximity, he is with you all the time. You see, he's our all in all. You can look in Colossians 3. He's our all in all. And different places in the scripture, it talks about the relationship with all the different types of people at different stages of life. You widows, I'll be a husband. You kids without a dad, I'll be a dad. He showed himself as a friend. He just kept showing himself the character and nature of God to whatever stage of life you're at, he is relevant. Amen. Now, this is usually the thing that's off. If you don't feel close as a close friend of the Lord, it's usually this third thing. And that third thing has to do with that common interest and energy. And you can solve it. It just means, if that's off in our life, it means I'm not taking interest in doing the things that Jesus is doing. Because once we do that, you got all three things going for you. They're all present, nothing's off, and you will be close to the Lord and continue to grow close to him. But if you don't get that third thing involved in your relationship with him, you're just not going to be close. And it's not his fault. It's our choice. It's our decision. It means our interests are off. So I want you to stand up, please. You might be here and say, I just can't handle any more friends. I can barely manage the ones I've got. God bless you. Encourage the ones that you already have friendship with as you continue to maintain and nurture that relationship with them. Encourage them to have more friends. Maybe you're here and you're like, I don't really like people. Then you have the third thing that's off between you and Jesus. You need to be doing what he's doing. Some of our most meaningful worship to the Lord has to do with the way that we treat people. Now, I know some are more social than others. I get it. I do. I get it. It's not that my wife is antisocial. She's not. But Lord bless her. There's a reason we have two vehicles. She waits on me enough. And it's not just here at church, like, oh, he's pastoring, he's meeting with somebody. It's tough. It's tough, her and I shopping together when she has a time frame and things to do. And I'm like talking to strangers. I'm down another aisle. I don't know. We bring our cell phones in because she hates when I go in Woodman's or whatever. Sue! It's not her favorite thing. Oh, what are you telling Josh over there? Are you making your own story? Move over. Don't be by her. She'll wait on me. See, so, but I love when she comes home and says, you never know, guess who I ran into. And then I talked to this lady, and then I met this person, and I'm like, doing the things that Jesus does. Why don't you have a close friend, but you have to put in the process. And you have to find, you know, and the Lord leads you to bring another person who's willing to put in the process. And understand that after you have this close friendship for time, you might hit different stages of life. And you may not be as close. It's okay. Don't take it personal. Your interest might change. Listen, if you're a cyclist, the kind with the pedals, I love you, I like you, I'm your friend, I'm not going with you. One, I'm not wearing the biking outfit. I'll button that up right now. I'll be your friend. But if you're spending hours doing that, I'm sorry. I'm praying. Yeah. So I want you to consider your expectations. I want you to consider your responsibility. But I always want us to be about doing what Jesus does for people, whether they're a stranger or a close friend or someone in between. That we can be the living church here on earth that represents the Lord. Jesus with skin on for people.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.